This morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Glory to God. Amen. That's good. Proud of you. Ephesians chapter 6 let's begin reading in verse 10. Going to introduce something today to you that I believe the Lord is wanting us to share with you. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And Paul said, "And for me," Pastor Maul says, "and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Amen. Now this morning I'm going to begin teaching you on the subject of the armor of God. Now this is not something that's new to some of you, but you know, when I get in the Word, it's not so much that you study to have something to say, it's that you study so God can give you fresh revelation. I believe that when you get in the Word of God and you are seriously connected to God, and by the way, you know, in order to receive revelation, you have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. You have to have a serious connection to God, because God wants to show you things from His Word. Amen? And you've got to be yielded as a vessel that God can pour out on you and in you that revelation from His Word, because we don't want to be like the people in the book of Hebrews. Remember chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Take heed," or "take the more earnest heed to the things you heard, unless they slip away from you." I find out that if we don't stay connected to the things of God, we have the tendency to let them slip away. In other words, if we don't stay full of the Holy Ghost and we don't stay yielded to the Spirit of God in our lives, we will get busy about our lives and we will let the things of God slip away from us. And you and I need to be trained as soldiers and be, you know, if you will, ready for combat, ready for whatever the enemy throws at our lives. In order to do that, we cannot be dull of hearing. We have to have our sensitivity, if you will, those ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We cannot miss anything that God is speaking in these last days. Now, we have learned that when God speaks something to us and we receive that word for ourselves by faith, then God will cause that word to come into effect or in manifestation in our life. Now, sometimes it may not be immediately, but we know that through faith and through patience, what? We inherit the promises of God. Are you with me this morning? So there's two things I want you to know. Go back up to verse 10 here as we begin to teach this. And I believe that we will, you know, just, you know, gain in momentum of revelation. I'm sure some of you have heard many times and probably read these passages of Scripture that we've read this morning. But I want you to have, again, a fresh set of ears to hear. I want you to have a fresh anointing on you, if you will, that you can put on the whole armor of God. Amen. There's a reason that you and I put on the armor of God. And really, it's not to go and attack Satan. We're not ever called to go and attack Satan. But we are called to stand our ground and resist the devil steadfast in faith. We are to be immovable, if you will. We are to be unshakable. As when the enemy comes at us, what do? We raise up the standard, which is the word of the Lord. Amen. And we shall not fall. We shall not bow our knee to Satan, but we will stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you're here, say amen. Amen. That's what it tells us. Finally, brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, again, there's two things here I want you to see. The first one is to be strong in the Lord, and the other is power of His might. Or power, if you will, that overcomes resistance. In other words, we have forces out there that are resisting us. There's forces in here this morning that are trying to resist the Spirit of God to flow, because Satan knows if the Spirit of God can flow and there is free course of the Word of God, somebody is going to get something from God. Something good is going to happen in somebody's life that can take the Word of God, and that Word explodes on the inside of them and illuminates their hearts and minds, and they receive the revelation of how good and how great God is. There is no other God besides our God. Amen. And God can set every captive free. He can open every blind eye. He can heal everyone that's sick, lame, halted. He can cause today the deaf to hear. Are you with me this morning? Because there's nothing that's impossible with God. God can deliver any man, any woman, any person that's yielded to the Spirit of God, because God wants to set people free. Amen. God wants to set us free. Amen. And so we know that there's resistance going on right now, but I'm here to tell you, greater is He that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world. But when you see this, we have two things here. We have what we call strong in the Lord, and we have power of His might. Now here's what I want you to see, because it's very obvious that we can be strong in the Lord and not be strong in the power of His might. Or we could be strong in the power of His might and not be strong in the Lord. We have to have both of these things operating in our life to be able to withstand the devil. Amen. To be able to withstand the resistance that the enemy throws at you and I to get us out of our race, to get us off of course. Now, be strong in the Lord means that we come to a place where we have personal strength as an individual. Now, I'm not talking about our physical strength, but I'm talking about inward strength, spiritual strength. We can be, if you will, operating in the anointing of God, but be weak spiritually. And on the other hand, in the power of His might refers to the manifestation of the anointing. So we want to know that God is with us to honor both His power and His might. Now, there's probably some of you that understand what I'm saying here, because you've experienced these things. You've experienced on one hand the anointing or the manifestation, but on the other hand be weak spiritually on the inside of you. See, if you're weak spiritually on the inside of you, then you're open for damage. Amen. You may have the anointing so that the manifestation of God can come on your life. But if you're weak spiritually, you won't be able to resist the temptations that come as you walk through life. Now, we need to see, first of all, what this power of God is and what this power, the word power here translated from the Greek word kratos, K-R-A-T-O-U-S. Now listen to this. It means vigor, dominion, and strength. It's an inherited strength. So we're to be strong in the Lord. That's talking about inward, to be spiritually strong and flow in the power or in the resources God has given us to resist our enemy, which is the devil. Now listen to me. God has given to every believer resources. Now we're going to learn that one of the greatest tools that you and I have is to operate in this power. But again, to operate in this power, we have to get a revelation of that power and where that power comes from. I want you just to go back with me to the first chapter of Ephesians. And let's look at this just a little bit closer here. Let's see what is meant by the power of God. Because we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Say strong in the Lord. Strong in who? So we're supposed to have inward spiritual strength as individuals. I can be strong in the Lord, but I can't be with you all the time. But Jesus is with us all the time. Amen? And I could be operating under the anointing and have the anointing in my life, but then be weak spiritually and I open myself up through a temptation to fall. And then the anointing is not going to help me in that area. I need to be both strong in the Lord and operate in the power of His might. And we'll see what that means. Now let's go here and look at this. Let me back up here and read. I was going to start at verse 16. I think I'll back up here just a little bit because some of you need to hear that on the inside of you is the power of His might. And where does this power come from? We're going to find out that God, listen, God is mighty. Amen. And God, listen, the hardest thing God, we learned this the other day, the hardest thing God had to do was raise Jesus from the dead. Because He had resistance. He had opposition. But even the hardest thing God had to do, all God had to do was move His arm, the Bible tells us. And by moving His arm, or flexing His muscle, if you will, He was able to wipe out the entire force of all of Satan's demons and all of his cohorts and all of those, if you will, forces of evil that thought they had captured and captivated the very Son of God, the Savior of man. And if God was able to do that, where is that power and how do you and I receive that power? Because that power is supposed to be operational on the inside of us. Amen. That's why it tells us that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen. Are you with me? That's why we as a believer, we have been given power. How much power? All power. And authority over all the power of the devil. So it doesn't matter how big a demon it is. It doesn't matter, you know, which rank and file that he sends. You still have power over the devil. You still have power to defeat and put him back under your foot. But you got to remember who you are. Now, this is what Paul begins to show us, because Paul preached by revelation. Say revelation. See, I love revelation because then you get out of the Word what God intends for you to see. Because the Word of God can become a mystery, or in other words, it's veiled, if you will, or wrapped, if you will, in the package, and it has to be unveiled by the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Spirit of God operational in our life in order to be strong in the Lord and operate in the power of His might. The power of His might has to do with the anointing. The anointing has to be received on the inside of you so that you can operate in the revelation that God gives to you. Now here's what He said. In Him, look at verse 13, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. How many of you have heard the word of truth? It says, the gospel of your salvation. If you are saved and you're operating in faith this morning, it's because you heard the gospel. You heard somebody preach that Jesus saves. Jesus is still alive. Amen. And Jesus wants you to call upon His name, because the Bible says in Romans 10, 8, 9, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved means to be whole, to be delivered, to be, if you will, extracted away from present evil and harm. That is God. That is Jesus working in your life, not only as Lord of your life, but as the Savior of your life. Not just to take us to heaven when we leave here, but that we are protected and we have been given these tools, if you will, the armor of God, and here's this other one, the revelation of God to walk in, so we can get into that place where we can stand no matter what the devil does. No matter what He throws at us. And what He's telling us, it says, in whom you having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, He came into your heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit was the earnest money. It was the down payment that you were getting, if you will, a glimpse or a measure of the Spirit, the same Spirit that Jesus had. Jesus is saying, I'm giving that to you to operate to you until I take you out of this earth, until I take you to heaven. You will operate with a degree, with a measure of that Spirit. Amen. And so it's like the earnest money that you put up before you receive the whole house. Amen. Are you with me so far? He said, who is the guarantee? Say guarantee. Of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Now, Paul is praying here, okay? He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord of our, now look at this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, here we go, the Spirit of wisdom. Say the Spirit of wisdom. We need, listen, not just knowledge, but we need the Spirit of wisdom. Knowledge is something that we learn. It is acquired knowledge by learning things. But the Spirit of wisdom comes upon us so we will know how and when to utilize the knowledge. Are you with me? There's a lot of people that know Scripture, but do you have the wisdom to operate in that Scripture? Do you have the wisdom to use that Scripture so that it is at your advantage, that you use the same word to defeat the enemy that's trying to attack or invade your space? Are you with me, church? It says that you have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the eyes of your understanding, now here we go, that now that we operate, listen to me, that we operate in knowledge, but this is not knowledge that comes from man, but this is knowledge that comes from God. And that the Spirit of wisdom would come upon us, not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God, so that we would know when and we would know how to use the Word. In other words, you and I was teaching this the other night on Wednesdays, that we cannot even know Jesus apart from revelation. All we know is about Him. That's why it's so important that when we read the Word of God, that the Word of God begins to produce on the inside of us an inner image of what we're reading, so that we don't only just read it to hear it, but we read it to see it. Because when we see it, bless God, I'm talking about through the eye of our faith or through the eye of our heart, as the Scripture says, then we can grab a hold of it. It belongs to us, and we don't back off from it. We have to see who Jesus is so we can see who we are in Jesus. If you're with me, say amen, somebody. Okay. Now, he says that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? What did Jesus come to do? Some people do not even understand that Jesus still has a present day ministry. In other words, Jesus didn't just go to the cross and pay for my sin and your sin, and just now He's on vacation until He decides to come get us again. Let me know, Jesus is still at work. Amen. Jesus is still busy, if you will, doing the Father's business. Praise God. The Bible teaches us that He lives and He makes intercession for you and I. What do you think Jesus is praying for you this morning? Well, He's praying one thing, I know, that your faith does not fail. He's praying that when you stumble and you fall, that you get back up, because He's given you the ability, listen to me, given you the ability to get back up and get back in grace. Get back in forgiveness. Get back in your race, amen, because you're running the race to win it. You're not just running to run as a Christian and waiting on Jesus to come back for the church, but you're in this place and you're in this race for a purpose, amen, because God has given you a divine call. But we got to know what His call was so we can learn what our call is. It has to come by revelation, because unless we see, we're just kind of being Christians going through the motions. We just come and go like robots. We're never into anything. We're just here like zombies, mummies and dummies. You know, just monkey see, monkey do. But how many know God wants us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church? God wants us to be alive in Him no matter what's falling out on the outside of us. Well, let's read on here, because He says, what is the hope of His calling? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is, now look here, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Now we're talking about power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. We're looking at this power here just a moment. And the greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. How many of you saw that? Now, we got to come back. Paul is saying that raising Jesus from the dead was one of the greatest things that God ever did. Now, think about that just a moment, because you've got to get a revelation of that power and where that power is now. God, in all of His infinite, if you will, wisdom, and the creation. The Bible says that He created the universe and the world with His fingers. I mean, yeah, He spoke light and light be. But He took the moon and just, can you see, just taking the moon and, you know, and the mountains and, can you see that? The Bible tells us that we're the handiwork of God. We kept reading there in Ephesians chapter 2. But when it came to Satan and his opposing force, God moved His arm. And He flexed His muscle. And He defeated Satan right in his tracks. With everything that Satan could throw, because he thought he had entrapped God Himself and doomed every man to spend eternity now in a place called hell, because there would be no redemption for mankind. I said he thought. That's why it says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But you see, God, the Bible says, by the flexing of His muscle, just moving His arm a little bit, defeated defeated the worst blow and the worst force or the mightiest force that Satan had in just one flick of his arm. And then it teaches us that same spirit, that same power of the Holy Ghost is in you. But you see, if we don't have a revelation of that kind of power on the inside of us, now I'm setting a stage and I'm talking about learning not only who we are in Christ, but that we do have a natural side and we do have a side of divinity, just like Jesus, because you and I are made and created in His image and in His likeness. Well, these spiritual tools that you and I have to be used and they have to be discerned spiritually. If we're just going to be a Christian in name and not operate in revelation and operate in the Spirit power, we're going to be weak. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you this a little bit more. Okay, are you with me? Okay, don't go to sleep on me. I'm trying to develop this real easy for you to understand. So we're talking about two different things. We're talking about being strong in the Lord, and we're talking about being in the power of His might. Because believers can be, they can have strength in the Lord inwardly, inherent strength, spiritually, maybe just because of time. Now, time doesn't guarantee you that you'll become more spiritually strong. But you know, you hang around long enough, you come to a church, especially a church like this, you got to pick up something every once in a while. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can't come in here and not pick up a few tidbits, even if you're not paying attention. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of you are paying attention. Amen. And you can become strong spiritually, but then be weak in the power of His might, the anointing area, because the anointing has to do with yielding of the Holy Spirit and the power on the inside of you to resist the forces of the enemy. Now, it can be vice versa. There can be people that operate in the manifestation, and we see this all the time. We see this in preachers even today. We see this in the lives of people that operate under the anointing, but obviously very weak spiritually on the inside. We see preachers, we see them fall, we see them succumb to temptations. People that we see, oh my goodness, I mean, look at all the great things they're doing, the manifestation and the anointings there. But obviously there's a breakdown on the spiritual individual's life that allows Satan to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Are you with me? Amen. Now, I can give you examples of that. How many of you understand what I'm talking about when I say we can be, you know, have operating the anointing, but be weak spiritually as an individual? Amen. Paul said, finally, brethren, he said, I want you to be strong in the Lord and be in the power of His might. The power of His might is the manifestation of that anointing. Now, how many of you remember Samson in the Bible? Let me just show you something, because some of y'all are looking. I can see right now we're not going to get as far as I want to go, but I want you to get this very clear. Samson was one of the judges. You can go back and read it later in the book of Judges. He was hand-picked by God, selected and appointed by God to be raised up to be a deliverer of Israel, because they were held in captivity, mainly to the Moabites and to the Philistines. And now listen to this, that God handpicked Samson even in his mother's womb. And the mother took a vow, what we call the Nazarite vow. How many of you know that when you make a vow, that you keep that vow? And Samson was anointed by God. Yet he was very weak spiritually as an individual, because he could not withstand the test, and finally it did him in the end. Now, when Samson was in the mother's womb, the mother received and took that vow, took that oath. That Nazarite vow essentially said three things. One was that no strong drink would come to your lips. You would not eat of any fruit that grew on the vine. The first thing that Samson did when he got old enough and his hormones kicked in is went down to the valley where they grew the grapes and the wine presses and the heathen women. Wanted one of them. The next part of the vow was that he could not cut his hair. Now, his hair would be, you know, have to be remain uncut, unshaven for all his life. And the other thing is that he could not touch any unclean thing. Now, we know one of the early things he did was not only go down to the place where the wine was being made, the wine press and the strong drink, which Proverbs tells us is a mockery unto God, but also it will cause you to be a brawler, and it says those that are led into that by that are unwise. You know why? Because it alters you both physically and mentally.
Amen.
Are you with me? And it causes you to be controlled by an unholy spirit rather than the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Are you with me? Okay. Then it said that he was not to cut his hair and he was not to touch any unclean thing. Well, we know he killed a lion. The anointing of God came upon him and he killed a lion with his bare hands. Left that carcass began to decay, came back that same way a few weeks later after that carcass had probably rotted and decayed, and there was a beehive in there full of honey. And he reached his hand in there and scooped up and eat of that honey. Anointed of God, but yet weak spiritually. Are you with me? And he wanted to get married, and his parents told him, do not go down and marry those women. Those women, listen to me, are not of God, and they will turn your heart away from God. He was given specific instructions, but he wanted those women. And how many know Satan will always send you the wrong one? And if you don't know how to pass the test spiritually, if you're weak spiritually, even though the anointing of God may be upon you, are you with me? You will not be able to resist that temptation and you will utterly fall, even though the anointing of God was all over Samson. Samson, he went one day and he killed, now listen to this, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, a donkey. Now, I see these kung fu movies, you know, and you got one guy, you know, maybe 10 people coming. Now, that's a movie, right? 10 people coming at him. He's kicking. But we're talking, listen, and that's a great feat because you're in a heap of trouble if you got two or three guys on one. You get 10 on one, I mean, you're really in a trouble. But can you imagine 1,000 men coming at one man at one time and the one man defeated the 1,000? That was the strength. That was the anointing of God. And if you read and you study the life of Samson, you find out that he was not necessarily, listen to me, he was not necessarily a big man. Now we have, you know, Hercules movies and all, you know, Schwarzenegger and all these guys, you know, we have a picture of Samson. But in reality, I don't believe, and the Bible bears this out, that Samson was a very big man. Because they kept asking, where is the source of your strength? In other words, physically, just looking at him, he didn't look like he could do those things. But when the anointing of God came upon him, are you with me?
Amen.
He could do supernatural feats. But here's a man again, a picture of somebody that operated in the anointing but was weak spiritually. And he disobeyed what his parents told him to do. And he went down to the Philistines one day. And guess what? Here come this knockout. Her name was, anybody remember her name? Delilah. I mean, man, she probably shimmy and shook and give him that look. And he went, God who? I mean, Nazareth vow what? And he was hooked. He was taken in. Because Satan sent that woman. The Philistines paid that woman to go to find out the secret and the source of his anointing. Now, he was able to withstand a while. Because she would go and she'd begin to stroke him and do things for him and to him. And finally, he would tell her a lie. And he would tell her this, and she would do that, and she would call in the Philistines, and they'd come in there, and he'd break loose those things and, you know, annihilate them. And she'd go back, "Oh, baby, you lied to me." Oh, and she, and finally, listen, she did that several times and finally broke down his resistance. Are you with me?
Amen.
Until he yielded up the very secret of his strength and his anointing. And it was in the cutting of his hair. And she cut his hair, and guess what? He thought he could do just like he did before. He thought, well, they come in once, I defeat them. They come in again, I defeat them. The anointing of God is on me. I'm a man of God. Nothing can defeat me. Are you with me? And that time they came in, and he didn't even realize. Now, this is what's sad. He didn't even realize that the anointing of God had left him. And, of course, they came in, and what did they do? They plucked his eyes out, put him in chains, and bound him up, and took him captivity. And Delilah took in the money and went and spent her life with whatever she did and whatever she had. Are you with me?
Amen.
Just a picture, just trying to show you when he says to be strong. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 again. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, okay? God wants you and I to be strong in that power. When you are spiritually strong, then you can resist anything that the enemy throws at you. Amen? Samson obviously knew something was wrong. He obviously knew that he was being tempted. He was told, listen, he was told not to go down and mess with the Philistine women. Now, let me just throw this in so somebody will understand. It was not the fact that God was against interracial marriages. See, Samson was to marry an Israelite or an Israeli woman. You know, he was not to go and marry in some other place or some other race. But it does not mean that God is against interracial marriage. God sees no color. I mean, it doesn't matter what the spectrum, from all the way white to all the way black and all the colors in between. God's not looking at color. God is looking at hearts.
Amen.
The reason God did not want Samson to marry a Philistine woman is because they served other gods.
Amen.
And because they served other gods, it would take the heart of Samson away from the true and the living God. So the demarcation has never been about culture or race. It's about who do you serve. Do you serve God? Do you love God? Or do you serve and love another God? That's the way it's always been about God. Now, if you have trouble with that, then you got a problem. Amen? But God doesn't see it that way. What God wants is that nobody becomes unequally yoked together in any kind of a relationship. Because if you are, then one or the other is going to take your heart away from God.
Amen.
And so make sure you understand that. To be strong in the Lord means that we have individually grown on the inside to have strength to not only see and recognize what the devil does, but to have the anointing or the power in order to resist. All of this armor that we'll get into is not armor so that we can go out and attack the devil. But it's so that you and I can stand after we have done all that we know to do through our prayer, through our supplication, through our study of the Word of God, through receiving the revelation of God's Word, then we put on the whole armor of God. Let's read it one more time. Are you with me?
Amen.
It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now put on, now here's verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God. So we know that a man who is weak spiritually but flows in the anointing, he's going to be subject to be damaged in his life. Or somebody that flows in the anointing but is weak spiritually is subject, not the question of being attacked. You will be attacked. You will be attacked. Your faith will be tried and tested. The question is can you stand? Can you stand without falling? If you're still here, say amen, okay. So he says what? Put on the whole The whole, say whole. Now what? Now look at the terminology used here. The whole armor of God. Because why does he say whole? Because he wants to make sure that you put it all on. Not part of it. Because if you don't put it all on and you leave a part off, then you're going to be susceptible to that place in your life to take a shot from Satan, and that could be a defying blow for you. If you don't know how to put the breastplate of righteousness on, which is a piece of spiritual armor, hello? How many know that the breastplate, if you can picture that Roman soldier, was that plate of armor there to protect the vital organs? Now, how many know if you get shot, stabbed, or punched in the heart, you got problems? Well, what about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? I mean, if you don't have the right shoes on for the thing that you're called to do, you're not going to stand very good. Amen. Are you with me? So we don't just pick and select. That's what he's saying. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. In other words, we don't just choose the part that we know about or that we like. We have to make sure we have it all on. All the time. Amen? Amen? So that we're covered all over, that there is no exposed areas in our life for Satan to come up and be able to do his number on us. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is the word for scheming or strategies or deceitful, if you will, deceits of the enemy. Are really, it's the methods by which he uses. If anybody ever studied anything about warfare, you know that one of the first things they teach is that you have to know the strategy of your enemy. Now here's what it's telling us. Now listen to this. In order for you to be able to defeat your enemy, you've got to be able to recognize and know who your enemy is. Now, Satan is the master deceiver. In fact, because he can't do it, here's two things. Well, let me just give you these two things. First of all, if you don't have the whole armor on, you are susceptible to damage. That's number one. And number two, now listen to this, it means that you have the ability to outsmart the devil. I say that to you because he is not smarter than a spirit-filled believer operating by the revelation knowledge of God. Did you hear what I just said? I said, you have the ability to outsmart the devil. Because this tells me that if the devil could, and if the devil had all power, he could just take you out at his will anytime he wanted to. But he can't do it, can he? When you decided, here was the hardest thing God had to do, was to raise Christ Jesus from the dead. You know what the second hardest thing for God to do is? Is to get you to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know why? Because there's opposition. There's a will involved. Yours. Just like Adam got to make that choice. Eat of that tree, don't eat of that tree. He eat of the wrong tree. Are you with me? Amen. Just like Samson, don't go down to the place of the Philistines. Don't choose one of those women. Choose somebody here from Israel. Choose somebody that serves the true and living God. He made a choice. Life is about choices, isn't it? It's about being able to use our will. So God does not violate our will. So here's the next thing God had to do, is to get man to call upon the name of Jesus so he could be saved. And when you got the revelation that Jesus could save you and forgive you, there was no demon, there was no devil, there was no power or force that could stop you from doing that. Can somebody just bear witness with me just a little bit? Showing you that the devil can't do what he wants to do just when he wants to do it. Now, he does a lot of things, but he can't do anything without disguising himself. Most people don't recognize the disguises that he uses. Most people don't understand the modus operandi or the methods that Satan uses. Because even though he don't have any new ones, he keeps using the same old ones, just disguising them a little bit for every generation, for every new You know, every new generation that comes along, just kind of disguising, changing terminology, changing words, but it still causes people to fall. It still causes people to separate. It still causes people to get away from God. Are you with me? And so he said, not only to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, he said, put on the whole armor, not part of the armor. He said, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, now look at this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, right here, we have listed before us the rank and file. This is our enemy. See, I told you one of the things that we have to realize in any warfare, and I was about to say this a while ago, is that you have to learn to recognize the enemy. Before you engage in warfare, you have to know who your enemy is. Now, we're taught through the Word of God that our enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your mother-in-law.
Amen.
Amen. Your enemy is not the black man or the white man or the brown man, you know.
Amen.
You know, hey, your enemy is not in that. Your enemy is a spiritual force. And this ranks the demons, really, what it is. And we'll talk about that a little later, in their spiritual ranking. But only thing you got to remember, from the strongest devil or the strongest demon to the weakest, the power of God is still greater.
Amen.
And the power of God is on the inside of you.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And so, now listen, let me just close it with this. Let me show you in Romans 13, because we have to know who the devil is. We have to know how he fights. We have to know the devices that he uses. And he tries to get us at odds with one another. You know, one of the most dangerous things in war, in time of war, is what we call friendly fire. How many of you know what friendly fire is?
Amen.
Where you get in the heat of the battle and you get to, you know, the adrenaline gets to flowing and the stress and the pressure of war. And we see this all the time. We saw it in the Iraq war. We see where actually the U.S. soldiers in the heat of that battle, because of the confusion and because not understanding the rules of engagement in warfare, shot another U.S. troop or another U.S. soldier, called friendly fire. And see, what happens is that we become Christians that begin to shoot ourselves. Our mouths get into gossip and talk. We become more lethal than Apache helicopters, amen? Than napalm bombs and all that kind of stuff, because we haven't learned who the real enemy is. Now, we have a choice to be the avenger or to let God take the revenge. And that's what he tells us. You go back and read Romans chapter 12, and you can see, because now he's talking about how we should respond and how we recognize who the enemy is. Let me just read it right quick as we close. It says, repay no one evil. Verse 17, are you with me?
Yes.
He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now look at verse 18 real careful. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, it says, as far as possible, that we're to live peaceably with all men. In other words, the burden really becomes on us, doesn't it? If we're Spirit-filled and we're operating by that fruit of the Spirit, we're going to look for peace and not war. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to see two Christian people fight each other. It's even worse or a sad thing to see two Christian, and I'm not quite off marriage yet, but to see two believers get divorced.
Amen.
That say, both of them say they know God. Are y'all with me? I mean, people that may have known God in their marriage for 10, 15, maybe 20 years, and then wind up getting divorced. Let me just tell you something. If you're going to live with them that long, you might as well just make up your mind and go across the finish line. I don't know about you, but, you know, she was talking about, well, we got each other trained. She just, you know, she can look at me. I'm like the seal with the little ball, you know. They're just, they're, you know, she just has to tell me. It's not quite that bad. I'm being a little facetious. But, you know, I wouldn't want to start over and train somebody else. Teach them, you know, how to put the toilet paper on right and where to squeeze the toothpaste. And all. Are y'all with me? My goodness gracious alive. I mean, who wants to start over after you've been together that long and retrain somebody? Praise God. So that's what he's talking about here. And then he goes on to say, let me read the last verse there. Because if we become the avenger, then we're going to get paid. But you don't want that kind of pay. He says, do not avenge yourself. Did you see that? But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. That means that if we take vengeance and become the venger, then we're going to receive the wrath of God upon ourselves. But if we allow God to be the avenger, then the wrath of God will be spared from us. It's not get even. It's not one-upsmanship. Well, they did this, I'm going to do that. No, you're making a big mistake. See? You're making a big mistake because now you're operating out of that safe zone. You're operating out of that area. He tells you, in fact, what you're to do. He said, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what does he say? Feed him. He didn't say, you know, he didn't say put some poison in their food. If your enemy is thirsty, he didn't say put drops in there. That would, no, he said, for in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, God says that you overcome evil with good. God overcomes the enemy. Amen. The enemy is evil, and light always overcomes darkness. Praise God. Somebody say amen. But if you're always looking at the negative, then you're always going to find something wrong with somebody, and you're always going to be coming from the side of a vengeance. So just let God do His thing. Yes. Amen. And you do your thing, yes, and you will be avenged. Praise God. Amen. And God will repay whoever needs to be paid. Come on, stand up on your feet just a minute. Everybody say, the whole armor of God. I tell you, we don't want just part of it, do we? We want everything. We want to be protected. Every part, every fiber of our being. And really, all of that armor, if you really look at it, it is so that we can withstand the resistance. How many have ever had some good shots fired at you? How many have ever had opportunity to succumb to the pressure, to the test, the trial, the carnality, the flesh? I tell you, we have to learn how to dress for spiritual battle. When he said the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're what? They're mighty. Come on, say mighty. See, there's that same power. They're mighty through God, that inherent power of God on the inside of us. And he said, if that same spirit, that's what I like, if that same spirit dwells in you, if you are born again, you know what? It says he will make alive your body. He will make you mortally an eternal being that will live for him forever. I want you to bow your head just a moment. I want you to